just had a lot of influence, you know. If I thought the ministers weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, you know, I told them. I mean, I had that kind of power, influence, and respect. Okay? I just kept them on what they were supposed to be about. Didn't let them give up on things, man, that they had started. Okay? And I always felt very comfortable there. If I look back and say the thing that I probably enjoyed most was being in the Church of Reconciliation and working with them, helped me grow and that sort of thing. I just felt love there and so forth. So pretty much that's my experience with the church. I still sort of feel like that church is yeah, and even though I went back the other day, it's not. Okay. Everybody's gone. The majority of people's gone, and they've changed directions. They're not. It's a more traditional church now. They're not even trying to do some of the things that the original church started out doing. So
that's very interesting. I wanted to change the subject at this point. Ask you about Chapel Hill in Orange County, and what changes have you seen in the last 20 years here with regards to the ethnic makeup, and what effect has this had on the black community and the community as a whole? Go back over that again. The changes that you've seen in the ethnic makeup of this area, Orange County, and what effect that's had on the black community and the community as a whole.
Okay. Right now, as a black community, we're really struggling to keep it intact. Chapel Hill has grown to the extent that the black community has very little impact over politics, whatever. At one time we were shakers and movers, man, as far as politics. I told you earlier that we got a lot of people registered. Got involved in the Democratic Party, and we had a lot of influence. We got Howard Lee elected, we got other blacks elected, put on boards and so forth. That's diminished. It's diminished because with so many people coming in, migrating into Chapel Hill, Copper, that it's not the same. Harbor is not the same place it used to be. Harbor at one time was very conservative. With so many people coming in to University of Chapel Hill, started to move to Harbor, and Harbor became the bedroom community to university. As and rather than being a mill town and having this way of life. Harbor elected a black mayor and controlled the town council out there. We had more blacks on the town council than we had here in Chapel Hill. So Harbor changed. Chapel Hill began to change. We started to elect the blacks that we elected on the town council in Chapel Hill were from somewhere else, did not have the feel, did not come into the community to see what it needed, what it wanted, and so the black community didn't feel like that these people represented them. You know, we have Mr. Name, church member, but he didn't really know the community. So from that standpoint, we've lost a lot of influence. They tried to get me to run for the town council. I just don't want to do that. I don't have the mental alertness. I don't have the stamina to serve on any more boards. It takes an awful lot of reading and keeping up to put that in. I have worked and supported people like Edith Elliott. Elliott is not a last name now. But anyway, she's very, very good. Served with Edith on the school board. Talked her into taking, you know, running for the town council. Barbara Powell was very good. Barbara grew up in Chapel Hill, so she had a feel for the community. And people knew her and felt that she was their representative. Well, Barbara got sick and so forth, and when she died, you know, we had a hard time replacing Barbara and what she represented, her understanding. At one point, man, we elected Howard Lee. That, I guess that was the height of our political.
He was mayor?
He was mayor. We also carried Orange County for Reginald Hawkins for governor. You know, we got punished for years, man, by Scott. You know, for not supporting him and Orange County supporting Reginald Hawkins. And for a long time, 54 was never anything done. You know, from Scott's home in Alabama to Orange County line was good, and from 54 to Raleigh, but the part that Orange County, man, never anything, and he punished us for years for that. But we felt like, you know, we do what we had a lot of influence and power, and we were exercising it. Howard Lee, you know, Howard wasn't from here, okay? Howard was from Georgia, but Howard came here, and I met him. He was very dynamic. I was still calling shots from a political standpoint, okay? Howard said he wanted to run, you know. So I met with the coalition, the white coalition, which we were heavily outnumbered, okay? And they said, well, Howard, why don't you run for the Board of Aldermen and work your way up? We don't think it's the time to run for mayor. And I said, Howard, do you want to run? He said, yeah. So we met behind closed doors. Smoke-filled rent room, as they called it at that time. And I just told them, no, the coalition is about to unravel. Okay. It's about to turn it back over to the business community. This coalition is about to unravel. If Howard wants to run, then he's going to run. Okay? Now, we supported folks that you sent over to us that wanted to run for different things, and, you know, we never questioned. We supported them. Okay. Now we got a candidate. Okay. Y'all gonna support him. Okay. They had put up a fellow by the name of something Cleveland. I can't remember the name. Board up in Hillsborough. It's Gordon Cleveland. I think that was his name. Anyway, and Gordon Cleveland, you know, respected me, and Rebecca, and whatever. About five was in the room. There was about 20 of them leaders. And I said, look, either support Howard, don't send nobody over to see me again that you want to support. Okay? This thing works both ways. We never asked you to support anybody. We've always supported who you sent to us. Okay? From this day forward, don't you send nobody. Don't even send them to my house. I don't even want to see them. Don't even send them into the community. Gordon Cleveland said, hey, you know, I think he has got a point. I withdraw as a candidate. So they didn't have a candidate. They had to support Howard. Okay. And we worked very hard to get Howard elected. Okay. I mean, it wasn't easy. Okay. Howard, very dynamic, powerful speaker, well organized. Okay. We were having teas and stuff, man. We'd never done anything like that in Orange County politics. He was campaigning. Okay. And we've never had anybody that to campaign like Howard campaigned. With all his eloquence and so forth, we need to turn out votes. Okay? That was gonna win the election, not the kind of campaign that he ran. So we got busy. I worked like the devil, you know, getting people. At that poll that day, I had that thing well organized, Bob. I had designed tear-off sheets. Okay. I had poll watchers. And every black that came in, we checked their names off. We had cars, you know, ready to go. We had students, not only from the North, but from Bennett, and from UNC, and whatever. Okay. And as we checked off at 3 o'clock, you know, we put into motion. We gave these people lists to go out and find people, put those people in cars and carry them to the poll. Okay. Very effective. We had these students combing the houses, man, going in there, getting people out. You know, Doug had let us borrow his bus. Okay? We were going everywhere, the grocery stores and everywhere, getting people out of the grocery store, okay? And people said, I voted already. And I said, no, you haven't. I got your name here. You haven't been, okay? They're going to take me 5 minutes. Get in this bus. Get in this car, you know? And that's what we did. We worked like mad. We worked up until the polls closed, finding people. We looked down that list. Okay? And every hour we tear off another list. Okay? So we always had it up to date as to, and we wouldn't find people. We had everybody vote that day. Okay? The most exhilarating thing that I'd ever been a part of. Okay? I worked up carrying people to the poll until the polls closed. And when I got to the church, I couldn't even get in the church. There were so many people in that church. I mean, I had worked, man, I couldn't even get in. Okay. And we knew that he was going to win. Okay. We had an idea, but that thing was much closer than thought it was. He didn't win by that big a margin. I mean, I think it was in the teens. Okay, just that close. But without that effort, Howard never won. Okay.
What was the year?
Oh, man.
In the 60s? Or?
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s. Really supported Howard. Howard went. Really changed things, made the office, mayor of the office a real position. Had open house, but times that people could come in and talk to the mayor and whatever. So he did an excellent job. He brought grants in. That was a ditch that was an open ditch running through the community. Federal monies to get those things closed, paved streets, put in curb and gutter, with housing programs, man, that people renovated their houses. They did an excellent job. how it made a lot of mistakes. Very positive person, but then how it doesn't always check back with the community. You know, you got to stay in touch with your constituency. You know, he's a very dynamic person, but he's a introverted person as you get to know him as an individual. You know? But you know, I've supported Howard, whatever Howard wanted to do. When he ran for lieutenant governor, you know, I didn't play as big a role in that campaign as, you know, because he went outside and got professional people, you know, to work in that campaign. Really should have kept local people. Should have had North Carolina people that knew the state or whatever. Then these national people were calling shots based on wherever they come from. Those things don't always work locally. So I've remained very good friends with Howard and Lillian throughout the years. Much closer to Lillian and their children. Lillian, just a super person. Okay, you just have to know her. She got a feel. She got a heart this big. And, we just sort of on the same way. That's not taking anything away from Howard. But I just like Lillian, what she's done at the high school as a teacher and in the community.
So what I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that at one point the black community had a lot of influence and control over the politics and the government.
That's right.
In the area. But then with an influx of blacks from other areas.
Not that many blacks, but everybody coming in. You can't run a campaign the same way you used to do a long time ago. The precinct meetings are not strong anymore. It's just a different way of politics. Let me talk about the large number of other ethnic groups coming in has also impacted. Northside precinct was considered a black precinct. Northside and Westwood, for a long time, we've been in a minority in Northside. But in people's mind, they say, well, we have to wait for Northside and Westwood precinct, which is the predominantly black precincts, to come in before we can call and say what's going to happen. Also, I haven't been predominantly black in a very long time. Okay, we have an influx of students. We got more students and white in the precinct than we got anybody else. I guess maybe we about a third or less. But when people say Northside, they say that's the black community, that's the black precinct, and we're not. You know,
where do Latinos come and Asians? Are they in Chapelville and Carver, or are they more?
Now the Latinos are in Carver. Okay, they've taken over Carver. Okay, they've taken over certain housing units. Apartments. They have their own stores. Down on Jones Ferry Road, they've just about that, we call that Little Mexico. This is not derogatory, it's just the fact that that's their community. And they are growing, they are mushrooming out. 15 years ago, there were very few Mexican, Latino in this community. It came right after the oil crisis. Okay, the Arabs cut the pumps off, the people in Texas, man, oil was too expensive to pump. So people, the oil companies in Texas closed their pumps, sealed them up, and started to buy oil from Arabs. It was still, even though that the price went up on oil, it was still cheaper to be able to buy it from the Arabs than to produce it in Texas. Texas went down. Okay. When they closed that up, then all the construction and everything that was going on in Texas came to a standstill. So the developers looked and said, what area in the country is still doing very well? Well, the Research Triangle Park, okay? I mean, Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill was growing, still growing, and there were companies moving into the Research Triangle Park. Raleigh was growing so fast, man, it was about to outgrow its water supply. Just couldn't keep up with its roads or whatever. Just that many people coming in. Large number of people went to Cary. Cary has surpassed Chapel Hill in population and whatever. But people still want to come to Chapel Hill. There are an awful lot of retirees coming to Chapel Hill. And you can look at the Chapel Hill Tennis Club and see it's made up of senior citizens now. Okay. We got more retirees coming to Chapel Hill because of the university and programs and things to do, not only at UNC, but Duke. Young people tend to come and they move to Raleigh. Chapel Hill has just changed. I mean, it's built so fast, man, there were areas that I considered rural. And you go in there as a housing development. There is no more land and planning. You know, everybody's saying we got to keep Chapel Hill a village. No, there's no more village. Okay. If you look at the town council's planning district, now that Meadowmont's gone in, there is no more land of that size that they can build. So the place has just changed. Schools can't keep up. Can't keep up with this building program. Okay. By the time they think that they've got, man, and they got schools coming online, and they still need other schools just to deal with the population. The Latino Hispanic has a sizable impact on this community. Okay. Like churches, St. Paul. You know, we have a certain portion of our church, man, geared to the Latinos. They have their services there. They have their services in a number of churches.
Do they have their services at separate times?
Yes. Yes. Okay. They run their programs, whatever. They're opening up their own stores, okay? I look at Cliff's Meat Market, okay, which is almost in the heart of Little Mexico as it expands east. Okay, they are now providing services so that they can send money back, and they're providing foods and so forth. They're opening up stores. You go to Food Line down on Jonesbury Road. Temple Line, you know, on Jones Ferry Road, that food line is geared for Mexicans. They got workers in there. You go in there, you see hardly any white or any black in there. That is their store, even though it's not said it's their store, but it is. You see who shop there. You look at the counters and so forth, there's a lot of food and so forth geared for the Mexicans. The Asians it's a little different. I don't know, they are here, but they're not as visible. And you look at the number of Chinese restaurants that we have in this town, and I've become very good friends with Francis Chang, who runs Jade Palace. Okay. Francis has learned to use grants and so forth, and he's got construction companies, he's got electronic companies and so forth. I talked with Francis and his wife, and I asked him, well, why are so many Chinese restaurants? Are y'all making a living? Every time you look up, man, there's another one opening up. And they said, well, the Chinese restaurants is there so that the Asians can come in, work in the Chinese restaurants, learn to speak English. And once they learn to speak English, then they must leave the restaurant and go out on their own. And it keeps, more keeps coming and keeps working, and that's their way of working into the community. They are set up that way to help their own. They are not as, they're more diffuse in where they live. Don't see them all living together like the Latinos. You know, the Latinos, man, continue to pretty much stay among themselves. Very hard workers. I got a lot of respect for the Latinos and so forth. Their work ethics is just unbelievable. Okay. If they say, I'm going to do this, man, then they're going to do it. They're going to give you the best job that they can give you. And they're going to work. I've had them working. They put roofs on my house. Okay. And they go. They come, they start early in the morning, they work like mad. They leave half an hour for lunch. Nobody has to tell them whatever. They do quality work. And, you know, you don't have to watch them. Okay. I've had other people working for me, and I go down to Lowe's, man, and on my way back, and no knocking. They see my car coming, they're about to tear my house down, man, knocking, you know. So, you know, it's just a different work ethic. The Asians have a ethics about education, almost like my experience with the Jewish persons that I've known, okay? My experience with the Jewish population is that they help their own. You know, they also have things set up that they help their own. Asians do quite a bit of that, and they excel in school almost like, you know, the Jewish population excels, okay? So if I look, they very much like, you know, hard to get to know them, okay? It's hard. I've tried my best to get to know them and have developed some great friendships with some of the Asians. But I can't speak the language. You know, if you begin to look at the different dialects of Chinese, man, they don't even know all the dialects, you know? I had a little book, how to speak Chinese. So when I'd go to the Chinese restaurant, I would look at me and try to speak it and whatever. If you people will accept you if you try to learn their language, okay? So, you know, I've made some great friendships and so forth. The place has changed. Like, the Northside community, we are struggling right now trying to maintain our homes. University made a decision about 10, 15 years ago that they weren't building any more dormitories. But they kept increasing the enrollment. So, where at 20 years ago, right at civil rights movement, maybe 30 years ago, you would not find a white student wanting to rent in the black neighborhood, okay? Because the rents were cheap and so forth, that's all the place they want to rent now, okay? Our community is just overrun with white students and whatever. And people began to build apartment units, man, geared for students. Two or three students can pool together their monies, man, and pay much more money than a black family. So the community is changing. Excuse me. So I'm working with a group now, the Northside Community Association, man, trying to preserve our neighborhood. Entrepreneurs and speculators are coming in and buying up the neighborhood. What they're doing that I find dishonest is sort of intimidating older citizens, make them believe that they need to sell their homes. And that's how we got involved. We found some of the letters and so forth. People called me and said, "Ed, do I have to sell my house?" You know, people with cash money putting real pressure on, you know, older citizens and so forth to sell. So, you know, we've organized, you know, to try to preserve Northside. We've worked with the town. The town is working with us to give us certain ordinances and so forth. We have a group, which is a CDC, which is a Community Development Association. We are buying houses and renovating them ourselves and moving black families in them. It's called empowerment. Empowerment done a fantastic job of buying up old houses and renovating and selling them to new families. So we being able to preserve what's left, but people have come in and bought up Northside, you know. University is always in its planning, had planned to consume this neighborhood anyway. I looked at some of the early drawings. It's been on its books. University had one time planned that South Campus would hook up with North Campus, Hart Williams Airport and whatever, and that they would eventually buy up all the land in between. And the land in between was supposed to be for student housing. When we found that out, we started to fight that, and the university backed off. But the university is still talking about increasing its enrollment. I don't see any dormitories on the drawing board. It has become institutionalized that if you with the university, if you stay in university housing, once you get to be a junior and a senior, you're supposed to move off. Okay, that's the, if you can move off, have your own car, whatever, as a junior, then that's what you do, okay? Parents have bought condominiums and so forth, when they got more than one kid, and they own the condominium, the kid lives there, and after all the family members go through, they sell the condominium. So that's pretty much what's going on now. It's changed. Very few people that you run into are native Chappahillians, okay? We consider you a Chappahillian if you've been here 12 years. But to find somebody that grew up here is, it's they on the endangered species list, okay? We may apply to the government, see if we can, but no, it's very few people that have grown up and that you can identify.
Do you see the Latino group as an economic threat to the black community?
Oh, well, that's a very difficult question. I don't see it being that great a threat, because if you were educated black, you couldn't work here anyway. You had to leave Chapel Hill, you had to go other places to get a decent job. Those that remained, some of them are still in the trades and so forth, and they have retirement age. And other people have just not moved in and whatever. So we have very few tradesmen with the skills and so forth. They just sort of reach retirement age and can't work that hard anymore. Black businesses sort of went by the wayside when integration came. So if you were a black businessman that operated a grocery store or whatever, when blacks were able to go to other stores, other restaurants or whatever, stop patronizing black businesses. So they went out of business anyway. The only one that's doing very well is Mama Dips. Mama Dips got a national reputation, so she'll do well because other people will come in from all over it, at least eat there once, you know. If you look at her business is predominantly white, okay? Very few blacks can afford to eat there. The predominant blacks eat at K&W, you know, cafeteria. Yes, it's hurting to the extent that if someone is looking for someone to do work, most likely will hire a Latino because of their work ethics. There are still some black workers, you know. I have Paul and whatever working for me, okay? I fight daily with Fish and Fisher, who manage my property, to say, you contact me before you send your workers. Their workers are predominantly white, okay? They are connected with them, and their thing is to give them, since these people work for them, to give them work. The white are also finding it difficult too, okay, to continue to work. But for right now, so much work demanded in this community, it's not a real problem. So I use Paul, okay, with Fisher. I'm still running into problems. They sent somebody over here yesterday to work on one of my houses, and they didn't check with me, okay? And those people charge a lot more than
came, what Paul was charged. Plus, when I find a sale, I go in and I buy up a lot of supplies. And when they send this guy over here, man, to install something in the toilet that I got in my shed, you know, I get furious. Okay, I cut my own grass, my own limbs, and that sort of thing myself. And they sent somebody over to pick up some limbs after a storm. They charged me $75. I told them I got a truck, I got chainsaws, I can carry things to the dump. Don't you send nobody else over here, charge me $75, man, to do that. And I'm running into a real problem, okay? Just one individual, you know, that I'm having problems with, okay? I think, I won't say it's racial, I think it's the fact that they went to Duke, I think it's a thing of respect. I don't know what you want to call it. They just don't want to take orders from a black man. You know, I pay them a management fee. Okay? I'm always on their case. I have to check behind them all the time. Okay. Now, I had a black person in one of my apartments, and he was late on his rent. You know, paid half of him, gonna pay the other half, and they on his case. Okay? I got a young lady living next door, and I get over my bill, man, and she paid half the rent. And I'm saying, what is this? Okay? Why half the money? Okay? Let me check my books. Well, I'm paying them too much money. You understand? I mean, why did that slip through when the other one didn't slip through? Okay.
And the white one slips through.
And the white one slips through, and the black one, you know, they on their case. Young lady lives next door here, you know, it's black. They go up on her rent, okay? Now, I'm looking at my other apartment, man, they ain't gone up on the rent in a while. I'm saying, well, what's going on here? What's your procedure, man, about rent increases? I'm making all these improvements and so forth. Some of these places haven't been increased in a long time. And y'all not managing my property well. And when I go in there and start raising hell, okay, I know they don't want to hear that from me. But see, my father did the same thing. My father was the one who started this thing saying, y'all don't do anything in my places without checking with me. Because he got other people. And I need to spread some work. I mean, there are a lot of blacks walking the streets, okay? And they look to me to try to give them work and help, you know? I let them cut grass and stuff, you know? Try to give them some employment, okay? I got a lot of people coming knocking on the doors and need work, okay? So I need to be able to do that. I got friends also that rent from Fisher, okay? They contact me, okay? One guy in particular, the young lady that came here yesterday, you know, she Esther got placed with Fisher because, you know, it was my recommendation. But she's got questions. Her brother had to renovate his place. Well, they were gonna send this person down, okay? I looked at his bid. There were too many questions there. You know, I wouldn't inspect. I wanna know about what is he gonna do about the structure underneath that needs to be reinforced, okay? Well, he hadn't looked at it, okay? But big bucks. So I convinced Jimmy. Let Paul do it. Paul did a super job. Okay. But the young man working for him can do anything. He's a magician, man, with tools. So, you know, I use them. I don't use some, man, because they cover up stuff. Okay. The young man that's doing my work here, you know, he's black. He built a little apartment on it. He's
It's a hell of a building. Quality, you know. You're a little high. But I have a satisfaction, man, that he's done a good job. Okay. So.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. You described a lot of changes in this area and the Black community. What changes would you like to see occur over the next 5-10 years?
Let me go to the bathroom. That teeth is going right. What would I like to see? From an educational standpoint, I'd like to see the schools respond better to minorities, both Black as well as Latinas. The school right now is very much geared to parents who have. There's a lot of people here that have a lot of money, influence, and schools right now cater to them a little bit more than everybody. I like to see Blacks